Good morning, we're Masechet Chulin, Daf Ayin Bet. We ended off yesterday. Basically, we had a kashya on Rabbah, right? Because Rabbah said at the end of the Mishnah on Ayin Aleph Amud Aleph, he came out of the Mishnah and said, "Kashem shetumeh belua ena metameh kach tohore belua tameh." Just like if you've got something tameh inside a person's body, it's protected, right? So too, there's something tahor inside somebody's body, it won't receive any tumeh. We went through all what the story was. We gave examples of rings, etc., etc., etc. And we came around bottom line when Rava said, "What's the big chiddush of Rava? We've got two Mishnahs that teach us the same thing." Then the Gemara said, "No, the actual chiddush of Rava wasn't one inside of you that wouldn't accept or transmit tumah on the outside, but a person swallowed two rings. One was tahor, one was tameh." And because it's balua, because it's inside the person, the tame one won't make the tahor one tame. That's where we got up to yesterday. So the Gemara then has a question on that. But Kasha says, "Vaha ubar v'chaya." Right? Didn't we speak at our Mishnah about a woman who had a dead fetus inside of her and the birthing lady? What's the word?
Midwife.
Thank you. And the midwife puts her hand inside and touches the fetus, isn't that, and she became tamei, we said.
But the mother's not inside.
Right. But the birthing wife, the midwife's hand is inside, is balua. And the ubar, the fetus is balua. And we saw there that the one does make the other one tamei. So the Gemara says.
He takes it away.
What?
For a moment, he takes it away. The tavalki are together.
What's the difference? For the moment that it touches it, they're together as well. When does the midwife's hand become tame? When it's together, not when it takes it away. Hey? And then, when does it become tame? It becomes tame when they're together.
Yeah.
So with that split second that they're together. So
let's say. The tame ring contaminate the silver ring?
We said it doesn't. It was yesterday's answer because it's balua. We said that was Rabbi's chidush. Why would a normal ring
make outside?
His question: If they would say it was av tuma, and the ring was kochi, what's kalu? I'll say Robert's question. Robert's question is that we've got that steel to steel.
Would
you eat matame food? But I think steel does matame one another. Steel does. Right. So hab ubar v'chaya, dichtei tava od damu. They're like two rings. And we see there that the ubar does metame the midwife. Look at Rashi there. The mother stays tahora. Right, so it's good. I'm a rabbi. So Rabbi says, "No, shani ubar. Why is it ubar different? Hoil v'sofo latzet." Right, what does it mean? He says over here, The ubar inside the mother does cause tumah, even though the ring doesn't, because the ubar isn't really in the mother. Because the objective is, the plan is, that it's going to leave the mother. So we already look, it's as if it's already left the mother.
So the rings,
that's the next question. Yeah. Amarava, ubar sofolatzeit, tabaat, ain't sofolatzeit. Well, and the ubar is going to leave, but the rings are staying there forever. That's the plan. The rings are going to leave as well. Exactly the question, Ira. They were. Right, look at Rashi there. Right, Tabat Ein Sofala Tzait Bitmiya. Rashi with a question mark. Right, El Amar Ravas, Rava says, "No." So what's the reason? Pumpaditai Yadaitan. There's this guy from Pumpadita, right? A Pumpaditai, right? He knows the reason. Now, be honest with you, often you have like a Bavlai Tipshai. You've seen it before, right? When in Eretz Yisrael, they call the Babylonians fools. It's a Bavlai Tipshai. So when I read this the first Pumpaditai, I thought it's like being like critically. I mean, actually not. Right? This Pumpaditai, Yadatai Medahai Milt, he knows the reason. Umano, who is this Pumpaditai? He knows the reason. Rav Yosef. I'm Rav Yosef. I'm Rav Yehuda. I'm Shmuel. Tum'azo. Eina midivrei Torah ele midivrei sofrim. Look at Rashi there. Look at important Rashi there. Rashi says the very last lines, the wide lines at the top there. Tum'azo. He says dchia. This is a knockout. Right? This is a dchia. How was this a dchia? This tuma that we're speaking about in our Mishnah, where the midwife becomes tamei, Eina midivrei Torah, ele midivrei sofrim. It's not a tumah d'oraita, it's a tumah midirabanan. Now the Gemara says something which is interesting. My eina midivrei Torah, ele midivrei sofrim. What did the Gemara have to use such long-winded language for? And say, eina midivrei Torah, ele midivrei sofrim. Look at Rashi. Why do we have to say all of this? Leima tumazu divrei sofrim. Now, why is the einami divrei Torah? Obviously, if it's midivrei sofrim, einami divrei Torah. So, what's the Gemara teaching us in that message over there? Why did you say long lashon? Mishum zeret. We said right. Lo taima. So says why? We needed to say this. Lo taima alibed Rabbi Akiva. The Amar ubar b'maye isha tamei. And I feel Rabbi Yishmael, B'maya Isha Tahor, Gazru Bar Tumim Rabbanan. Why is it so necessary? Because I'm going to be Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva. Right? That Rabbi Akiva says, Ubar B'maya Isha Tameh. And that's a Dor Rabbanan. And Rabbi Yishmael says, Ubar B'maya Isha Tahor. Now, Tahor. So you'd think that this is a machloket over here. What do you know? It's Eino Midivrei Torah, Midivrei Chamim. Even Rabbi Ishmael, who says Midivrei Torah, it is Tahor, agrees that the Rabbanan is a Zerah. That's what it's for. Right? Look at Rashi there. And I feel Rabbi Ishmael will come and buy you. My Rabbi Ishmael, Rabbi Akiva. We're going to ask just now a second. So now the Gemara says, my time. So why do we have this Zerah? What's this Zerah all about? Why do we need a Zerah? It's like an Amra Hoshaya. Gzeira Shema Yotzi Vlad Rosho Chutz LeProsdo. Now we remember we saw in our Mishnah. For birthing purposes, it's either Rosho or Rubo. Right? The head's good enough. The baby sticks its head out, it's a baby. It's born. Doesn't have to, even though the head might be small. So what happens is if the baby sticks its head out, the Prosdo, and we discussed this in a few Dapim ago, we see the difference between an animal and a human being. Remember the difference we spoke about? The woman has a prosdor through a yerachayim, and therefore we're not sure when the baby leaves the womb because it could still be in the prosdor. With an animal, we said that the womb is right at the end. So as soon as it leaves the womb, the animal's head sticks out. Remember that? Okay. Well, we'll find who it was, right? So that's what's going on over here. Because maybe the head could have put itself out through the prosdor. Now what's the case? Look at Rashi. If you say that the midwife put her hands into the inside of the woman, and that she's always tahor, then pa'amim, sometimes she'avlad motzi rosho chutz leprosdor. Sometimes the head is already in the prosdor. Barehu keyelud umetamei. Now it's no longer balua. We said balua and umetamei. But once sticks a head into the prosdor, it's no longer balu, it's now born. Umetame, ukesverua chaya, but the midwife will think, shadayin hi b'me'aya, that she's still inside, va'ati natara, we'll say that she's tahor. When it comes to an animal, Rashi means to answer the next question, so why haven't we got that concern with an animal? He says, shit yador lema'ay b'hema, but a shepherd who puts his hand into the insides of an animal, there we see that he's tahor. We don't have a gzair of this. Why? The womb is exposed. As soon as the animal sticks his head out, we know that it's out. So we can't make a mistake. But with a woman, because she's got the prosdor, this passageway before the baby comes out, it could be that the baby is born, has come out already, and now it's a dead body. Now it's a tamei mate. And it will tamay the midwife, and she'll think that it hasn't left the womb yet, and she's tahor. Okay? Makes a lot of sense, right? Mm-hmm. Actually makes sense. So that's the Gemara of Ihachi. The Gemara of Matam, Amar Rav Hoshea, Gzeira, Shem Yotzi Vlad Rosho, Chutz de Prosdo. Ihachi Ishanami. So why don't you make the mother tamay as well? Tamay as well, the woman herself. Look at Rabbeinu Gershom here. Rashi doesn't explain this question. Look at Rabbeinu Gershom over here. Just above the, just before we get into halfway Rabbeinu Gershom. It says, Iach Ishanami. If you're worried about that, the Amarta Shema Yotzi Vlad, because in case the body comes out, maybe the mother as well, because if it comes out, she might feel down there, and the woman, they might have come out. It's also be tamaya. Right? So why don't we worry about her and say Xaria as well because of her? The Gemara says, Isha margeshet ba'atzba. Look at Rabbeinu Gershom there. What do you mean a woman has a sense of feeling? So Isha margeshet ba'atzma, k'she yotze te yodat. She knows where the baby is. She can feel it in her body. If the baby's in the prosdor, she knows it's in the prosdor. She's aware of that inside her body. So therefore, with a woman, isn't that sort of problem? She'll know that the baby's in the prosdor. Okay, well, if she knows, let her tell the midwife. So the Gemara says, Trida. She's too confused. She's troubled, other stuff. She's busy with her birthing pains and her contraction. Thank you. Vetrida melomar lechaya al tigi, and she's too worried to actually say to the chaya, "Don't touch." Morning. Okay, so that is that section over there of understanding now Rabbi's whole story, and we've concluded that's actually a gzeira as not a doraita. Okay, so now the government wants to know this machlok Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yishma. What was it? My Rabbi Yishma and my Rabbi Akiva. Remember, we said that the whole reason of the gzeira is because Rabbi Akiva says Tamar, Rabbi Yishma says Tahor, but Rabbi Yishma agrees that Tahor Doraita, but Rabbanan would be Tamar. Okay, so the government goes back to that question. So my Rabbi Yishma, my Rabbi Akiva, which is the time you got a brighter. And the pasuk says like, "V'chol asher yigah al pnei hasadeh," right? The pasuk, "V'chol asher yigah al pnei hasadeh," anything that you touch on the field, "b'chalal cherev," right? Bechalal cherev or bemeit, so either the sword or the dead person. Right, that's where we got the idea that the steel sword is like the tumat meit. Remember that, right? Or beetzem adam or bone of a person, or bekaver or in their grave. Yitma shivat yamim. So any of this you touch, you tame 7 days. So now the Gemara says, "Cholasher yigah b'nei hasadeh." So what cholasher yigah al p'nei hasadeh? P'nei hasadeh means what? Revealed, open. Look at Rashi. Mashma galui, right? It's there. It's exposed. So the Tanakam of the Mishnah of the Brayta says, "Lehotzi ubar b'maye isha divrei Rabbi Yishma." Yishmael says this pasuk tells you that the maye, the ubar inside the womb, is excluded from this pasuk, right? Lehotzi ubar Rashi shehu tamun, because the ubar is completely concealed, and we got a pasuk which says only which galui. Right, Rashi Gavah says, "It will be my isha." Dear Rabbi Yishma, Rabbi Akiva says, "No, Rabbi Akiva may lerabot kolel b'dofek." Rabbi Akiva says, "It's got nothing to do with the ubar isha. There's no exclusion here for ubar isha for the womb, the fetus in the womb. This pasuk is coming to include golel v'dofek. What's golel v'dofek? Look at Rashi over here. Golel is a kisui ha'aron shel mate, includes the covering, right, of the mate. V'dofek comes from the word daf." Should not nin betzido. You remember Gershom explained a little bit different. He says, "Golel zehu kisui she'al gabe aron shelmate." He says it's the cover on the casket, not the actual cover of the mat itself, but it's even one level higher. And dofek otfanot shemetamin kemet, or the sides, right, that make you betam as well like a mate, which is similar to the Rashi explained it. And Gershon says straight out, "V'lo lohotzi ubar shebemaya isha," and is not coming to exclude the ubar, the fetus, as far as Rabbi Akiva is concerned. So now the Gemara goes, it's just normal process, right? Rabbi Ishmael golel v'dofek. So where does Rabbi Ishmael learn this golel v'dofek then, if they don't learn from this pasuk? They learn from Hilchot Gemilah to Halacha Moshe Mesinai, right? That's their answer. Rashi says, "V'chiata kra lotzi ubar," and the kra only comes to exclude the ubar as far as they're concerned. And Rabbi Akiva, ubar b'maya isha, right? Rabbi Akiva, who says that this pasuk does not discuss ubar b'maya isha, what does he say? Tamei midoraita. He says, "Tamei midoraita." So now the Gemara is like, "It's minale," right? Where's he get it from? So Amar Boishe, Amar kra hanogeh b'meit b'nefesh. Right, the next pasuk is from Amir Bar Yud Tet Yud Gimel. Kol hanogea b'meit b'nefesh adam. Asher yamut, right? Anybody who touches a dead person, benefesh adam, you can stand there, benefesh, right? I mean, it seems to be like inside the nefesh, or the nefesh, not sure. Asher that's died. Void chatai, mishkan Hashem, timei, v'chlan efshahim, Yisrael, kimei, nidal, ozorkalav, tamei, ye, od tumatubo. If you touch a mate, benefesh, you tamei, right? So he says, benefesh, ezu mate, she benefesh adam. Where do we have a mate that's inside a nefesh of another person? Have you omer, ze ubarash, b'maya isha. Seems to be quite straightforward. What Rabbi Akiva is concerned. Pashut. So I knew the most obvious question, Rabbi Shmael. Right? What does he do with this pasuk? Haimi ba'ilei le'revi'it dam haba'a min amet shemetama'a. He's got a different story. He says that when we say, kula shiyuga, kula nogea b'met b'nefesh adam, what is the mate in the nefesh of the adam? It's blood. Adam hu ha'nefesh, right? So you got a nefesh, the mate benefesh, that is a revit of dam. He comes to learn that. You got a revit of dam, is metame you like a person. Shemetame shenemar, varogap a mate benefesh adam. Ezu nefesh shel adam shemetame, which is the mate of the nefesh, the nefesh person, which is metame. Havomer zo revit dam, that's revit dam. So now, obvious question, Rabbi Akiva. Right? Rabbi Akiva, where does he get this from? Letame. He has no problem with this. Why? Rabbi Akiva says it's not correct. Rabbi Akiva says, no. Rabbi Shmuel's learning over here that we need mate benefesh adam, a revit of a person. I say we don't need a revit of a person. We just need a revit. Even if it comes from two people, I would even say even more than two people, would make no difference. The Tanya, Rabbi Akiva Omer, minayin revit dam haba mishnei metim shemetame. Well, got a brighter, mefurash brighter in Masechet Sanhedrin. Where does it come from? He says, even two people that cause a revit, shnemar v'alkol nefashot mate lo yavor. The other pasuk speaks in plural, v'alkol nafshot mate. Lo yavor l'aviv u'limor lo yitama. So alkol nafshot mate, he's in the plural there, look at Rashi. Hilchachai kra dichtiv bechad nefesh. This part of the Rabbi Shmuel quoted, Rabbi Oisha quoted the Rabbi Shmuel, lav revit dam, that's nothing to do with the revit of dam ata. Because he says the nafshot mashmashtaim is even more than two, said Rashi, and mate tavashi mitabad yado dahain revi'it, as long as it's revi'it, right? Va'akol nafashot mate lo yavo. Shtei nafashot v'shiur echad. Makes a difference. So basically, sum up, Rabbi Akiva holds his Doraita, that pasuk is not excluding the Ubar. Rabbi Shmuel says it is Doraita, it's excluding the Ubar. However, he would agree with Rabbi Akiva that Midrabanan is a gzera for the reasons we saw because of the case of the prosdor and the birthing. Okay, new Mishnah. We're back to the story of an animal who's having difficulty birthing. And the same case now we've seen before, and the animal inside it extends a limb out of the animal, and you chop it off. And afterwards you shech the mother. Habasar tahor. Right? We say over here that the basar is tahor. Look at Rashi. Why is it tahor? Very important this. She'ein behema mekabelet tume michayim. We learned that the other day. And we said the difference between a human being and an animal. That was the way we tried to do the pirch of that kal v'chomer. Remember, yes, remember we said the difference between an animal and a human being, that an animal doesn't become tame. And we said, but we have got a case of an animal getting mekabel tume in that bite, menuga, if it carries things on its back. Remember? But the animal itself doesn't become tame, only when it's dead. A live animal can't become tame. So this behema, we cut off its ubar, okay. And then we shech the mother, habasar tahor. Shachat et imo, v'achar kach chatcha, we shech the mother, and then we cut the limb off. It's still in the mother, right? And the fetus is still in the mother. We haven't removed the baby yet. So now we actually saw this as well. We had an allusion to this a few daf ago. Right? Habasar maga nevela di Rabbi Meir. Remember, the Masura Shasi has done it in our Gemara. We had it was an Amud Bet. We had it the other day. Here we are. Samachet. Mamash, the first line of Amud Bet. Remember that. First line Amud Bet of Samachet Amud Bet. Says the habasar maga nevela di Rabbi Meir, v'chamim omrim maga trei for shchuta. Remember that? We had it on Samachet. So he says exactly the same thing here. Habasar maga nevela di Rabbi Meir, v'chamim omrim maga trei for shchuta. Rabbi Meir says that the animal, the fetus, the animal, right? Look at Rashi. Habasar maga nevela, maga and Rabbi and Chachamim say it's a maga treifa shchuta. Now the difference between maga nevela and maga treifa shchuta we explained then was whether it is metame or not. Right? The kosher animal, even though it's dead, it's been shchita, isn't metame as a nevela. Right? So it's a big difference. Look at Rashi. Yeah? Rabbi Meir says basar maga nevela, basar haubar. Is maga ever minachai? Shehu metame kenevela b'haor v'harote. That's a parak there. Inami miyatsa ubar meit. So too had the ubar come out dead from the mother. Nevela gemura havei ha'ever. Then that limb would be a complete nevela. Nachash lo te'arto shchidat imo. Because the mother's shchidat in the tyrant. But let's do that around for a second. Basically what we're saying over here is that by cutting the limb, we've created a part. Remember, we cut the limb here. We speak about a case of where chotziu barit yadu v'chatcha. V'achar kach shachatet imo, no problem. Shachatet imo, and then we cut off the limb. That's our problem. Because it's already dead. So now can we kabel tuma. Right? The mother's dead. We shechted it. And then we cut off the limb. Habasar maga nevela. And Rabbi Chachamim say, no, it's only maga trev shchuta. Shehish ashchita. Af apish ena materet ha'ever ba'achila. Even though the limb can't be eaten, because the limb was, we shechted the mother.
Part of the mother.
It wasn't part of the shechita. It was outside the mother during the shechita. So it wasn't metaher from shechita. Metaharto midei nevela, vahavia ketrei feshchuta, she'ena metal min ha'torek, nevash v'azil elim rabbanan memukdashim. Okay. So we're discussing the ever at the end of the day, right? This ever. Is this ever nevela or is it ever basa? Is it trei feshchuta? So now the Gemara starts a case of Mamatzinu, right? Now we've seen before what a Mamatzinu is, right? Mamatzinu is, we start like an analysis of comparison to try to arrive at what, it's all in the Mishnah, but we're still in the Mishnah. Half the Amud here is still the Mishnah. It's a long, but it's like a Gemara Mishnah. It's like not a classic Mishnah like we've seen. It's more of a, it's a proper Lomdus Mishnah over here with a whole lot of analysis of what's going on. Agamot says as follows. What a mamatzinu betreifa. Talking about a behemoth treifa, right? A behemoth treifa sheshchitata metaharta. If we've got an animal, a kosher animal that's a treifa, right? In other words, had it not been a treifa, it would have been a good animal. The only reason we can't eat it is because it's a treifa. Right? It's got a psu. So we can't eat it. But we've seen that a betreifa sheshchitata meharta. Af shchitat behema to taher ta'ever. That's what we want to say. Maybe isn't the ever that leaves the animal basically like a treifa? It was kosher. Why can't we eat it? Because it left the limb before there was shchita. So therefore it becomes treif. But maybe it's still like a treifa that the shchita would help it nonetheless. So why is this limb? This limb then shouldn't be treifa. Amar Rebbe Meir says no. Remember, Rabbi Meir said it's a maga nevela, right? Rabbi Meir says it's a gamta the nevela. No problem. The Chachamim was saying, no, it's a shchita. So they haven't tried to analyze this. So Amar Rabbi Meir, lo, no. Im tihara shchita treifa ota. Right? The treifa, the shchita could have been metame, the treifa itself. Look at Rashi. Lo, im tihara shchita treifa ota. Shchitata min hadinu. Sharei davar shebegufa, right? See, Rashi adds in there shchitata min hadinhu. The shchita, that shchita is a good shchita, but davar shegufa tetaher et ha'ever. Davar, sorry. Im tiat shchita trefa ota davar shegufa tetaher et ha'ever. Davar she'elu gufa. When does the shchita metaher as far as the trefa is concerned? What's part of its body? But davar she'ele gufa. But this limb has been cut off already. How can the shchita of the mother help this limb? Where's the limb? It's out. It was gone, not part of it. So now there's a couple of little changes here. And then Rashi adds in there. If you look at Rashi's Dibura Matchil, the third line, it's v'minayin letreifa. You see that you've got a vav at the beginning. So I've added the vav here as well. V'minayin letreifa she'shchita mitata. And bichlal, where do we know this from even? That a treifa that shechted is even metaher. Look at Rashi there. The shema ainu metarta. Maybe that's not the case. Umin adin ainu metarta asher behemet tmeya asura b'achila v'treifa shab b'achila. Maybe no. Even this whole assumption which you're banking on might not even be correct. Because maybe just like a behemet tmeya, which you can't eat, and a treifa also you can't eat. And a behemoth tameya shchita won't help it. So maybe a behemoth tahora shchita shouldn't help it either if it's a treifa. How do we even know that? That's a gross question. Rav Uminai mitroi shchita matarta. Behemoth tameya shra b'achila. With treifa shra b'achila. So maybe they're the same thing. My behemoth tameya ain't shchita matarta. Av treifa noti tarin a shchita. Maybe the same. Where's this even assumption coming from? You're making all these assumptions. What's it? Lo, doesn't work. Why? Ima marta be behemoth tameya. If you want to compare to a behemoth tameya, you can't.
Part of the
this is all part of the Mishnah stuff. Unless all our Gemara's are printed wrong, unless Gemara should have been a little earlier. I agree with that's what I said. It's completely not a normal style of our Mishnah. Right? In my mind, a behemoth tameya, look, let's be honest. It makes sense that this should actually be in the Mishnah. Because, I mean, it's crazy to think.
I agree with you.
These are Tanaim. Right. It's because it's crazy to think that Tanaim never had these discussions. But you're right. Normally the Mishnah is just written, Samra. I've been having an ongoing argument now with two people, I won't mention their name now, with Noam and Rav Baruch, about the whole new theory these days is almost historical proof that Rebbe never actually wrote down the Mishnah. I grew up learning that Rebbe wrote the Mishnah. And that was like the big revolution in Torah Shebaal Peh. Was that Rebbe wrote down the Mishnah. He carried all these things in the Mishnah. The new teaching today is that Rebbe never wrote anything and it wasn't written and it was all done Baal Peh. It was done Baal Peh. And the question is even the Gemara, was the Gemara written? Was the Gemara only done Baal Peh? And then there's a famous Rabbi Shlakish Rabbi Yochanan argument. I think in Shavuot, I think, where he says, should we write down the Sifra? Because Eit Lasot Hashem Efaru Toratecha. And that's when things started only getting written down or whatever. I grew up learning that really the Mishnah was written.
What year?
And the Gemara was written.
Who arranged it then? It wasn't Rebbe.
Rebbe arranged the Mishnah. This Masorah is that Rebbe arranged the Mishnah. He just collected all the brights of the people that had written down their own notes all over them. But he actually made it into a corpus and taught it. But whenever we see Tana, Sonso, Lifnei, Rabbi Yochanan, or Tana, remember we saw the guy who teaches the brightest, they were experts whose job was to memorize them all. They weren't actually written down. Now, why is that relevant? Because then we understand why the missions which we have are normally much don't include all of this because it's very difficult to remember. But it makes sense that these discussions took place in the Mishnah. And for some reason, this sort of slipped in and it wasn't cut out. But we would normally expect to see this in the Gemara already. Okay, so let's go back. So now we're trying to understand where is that assumption from, right? And the Gemara says, look, if you're going to tell me now, you can't compare the two. Because a behemoth tameya never had a shat kosher. It was never, ever able to be eaten from the day it was born. Tomar, but treifa, shatala, shat kosher. Are you going to tell me that a treifa, which could have been good, it had a shat kosher? It was a month before it got that mum. Right? It was a perfect, I could have eaten it. That you're comparing the two. Look at Rashi there. Shaloh yatala, shat kosher. Skip that long Rashi. Shatah shat kosher. Litaher mitumata yeshchita tumah betreifa shatah shat kosher. V'chayvan dechal la Torah shchita. Once it had the din of shchita, says tu lo pakamine. It doesn't leave. V'hav yabichlal shar tzon ubakar. And therefore, it's a treifa. I can't eat it. That's fine. I accept that it's a treifa. But that it was pakam from the din of shchita. No, it was born with the din of shchita. It had a shat kosher, and therefore we could always shechta. Okay, so up until now, we're still trying to understand the machlok between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Meir on this whole idea of now the Gemara says like this. I'm not sure who says this tall.
For Tana.
Hey?
The Tanas.
But one of somebody, right? I'm not sure if not Chachamim, it's not Rabbi Meir. Some Tana sitting there in the audience says, Tolach Mash Evaita. It's all nonsense. All this proof, this whole discussion here is not relevant. Tall meaning take, right? Look at Rashi there. Tol mikan raya zu sheveta. This whole raya here, this whole story of the treifa and the tashat kosher, said not true. Harei shenol the treifa min habeten minai. Shenol the treifa min habeten minai. Look at Rashi. Shetarina. Shenol the treifa. If we got a treifa, because what are we trying to? What was the argument up until? Argument up until now was that a treifa always had a sharp kosher. So that's not a good answer. Because if the baby was born a treifa, it never had a shark kosher. So now, if your proof that a treifa shchuta is because it was born with the shark kosher, and therefore the din of shchita never left it, then how do you explain a ubar that was a treifa, it never had a shark kosher, and yet it's still a shchuta, still a shchuta, Shchuta Tahara. What do we call it? Rabbi Chaim called it a treifa shchuta, which is not metame. So therefore, we can't base on the fact that it had a shart kosher. You with me?
Right.
Because it never had a shart kosher. There's got to be other reasons. That's what he says. That's not a good reason. Take that reason away. I don't want that because that reason is going to cause us trouble. Where, according to you, then will we learn that a treifa nolda mabeten has got a tahor. So it says like this. Look, it says therefore there's no comparison. Imam barta bebehemet tmeya shechein ein bemina shchita. So it says okay. Well, I guess like, now if you tell me now, just compare from the other side. If you tell me that a behemet tmeya, a treifa animal, non-kosher animal, shechein ein bemina shchita, never had shchita in its. Doesn't apply. Tomar betreifa sheyesh b'mina shchita. That's the reason. A mina a treifa shchita doesn't apply. A mina behetra tahora does apply. Look at Rashi. Sheyesh b'mina shchita hilchach lo nafke michlal bakar v'tzon. Aval ben shmura. Now we're getting a little bit complicated. So before we do the rest of the Rashi, look at the rest of the Mishnah. The Mishnah brings an example of a behema tahora, which you won't be able to shecht, right? And won't be in the category of shchit at all, and therefore won't become a nevela shchuta. Will be a metame nevela. Ben shmone chai, right? An 8-month-old animal that's born normally, that's born, right? Ein shchitato metarto lefi she'ein b'mino shchita. You can't shecht an 8-month-old animal. Turns out an 8-month-old animal is actually born a treifa.
The cow takes 9 months.
Because it needs 9 months. Oh, you see that a few times up until then, we need 9 months. So an 8-month-old, you can't shecht. So an 8-month-old animal is actually an exclusion from that category. Look at Rashi now quickly. Sheyesh b'min shchita hilchach lo nafke michlal bakar v'tzon. Aval ben shmonesh is Rashi. Shenolad bi behema chaya, that was born from a living animal. Ein lanu bamele taher, we call it taher that. If that only becomes an avela, it's finished. Afilu nishchat, even if it's shechted, lefi she'eino bichlal bakar v'tzon, doesn't ever become bakar v'tzon, not part of your cattle, not part of your herd.
Not if it becomes avela.
If you can't shecht it, but therefore if it dies, you can't shecht it.
So it will be an avela.
Can you eat it? You can't eat it, I don't think.
If it goes up and gives birth, you can eat it.
Probably. Based on our previous examples which we saw, that zera mebarber, remember?
Yeah, but I mean, here it's like considered tamay, but it's not really tamay.
It's not tamay. It just can't be kev shchitas. Therefore, if it dies, and you can't shecht it to prevent it from being a metamay. It'll stay in a vela.
Maybe they're saying it has very little chance of living.
It's like born a treifa. Assume that it won't live, but the question here is if it does live. Mm-hmm. So we could answer, like we saw before, if it does live, it's not a treifa, remember? We said a treifa won't live for more than 12 months. So if it lives more than 12 months, and that's proof it's not a treifa, maybe then you can,
right.
Then you would, maybe you would say that. Okay. Okay, Gemara. Okay, let's, Amai. So now the Gemara's question goes like this. Look at Rashi explains this, understand the question. We say, Amai, why? But Amai basar ha'ubar tamay. Why is the basar of the ubar tamay? Valo lo naga ha'ev b'basar. Could we say now that the meat, the ubar now becomes tamay? We cut off this animal's arm, And now the meat of the ubar becomes tamei. And the Gemara says, why? The limb didn't touch any of the other meat. Ela l'day chiburo oto maga. Where was the touch? There was the limb sticking out, right? We shouldn't do this on ourselves, but yeah, there was a limb sticking out. And he looked at me, and he cut the limb up over here. Where did this limb touch the animal? Just at the cut. Now, where was the cut? We're assuming that the cut is inside, not outside. We want to cut it all off. So we cut in a little bit, right? Even what's inside the animal. So that's what we're saying over here. Where was the cut? Chibur bein hastarimu. She'eino nire. It's inside the animal where you can't see it. Now, bein hastarim, what do we say just now about bein hastarim? Balua eino metame. Right? And we've got a separate limud, by the way, of bein hastarim. Batei hastarim aren't metame. That's the Gemara's question. Am I tumat bein hastarim? Or tumat bein hastarim lo metamia? Look at Rashi, brings an example. Tumat bein hastarim, kai bein masechet nida. De lo metamia. That if things aren't seen to the eye in those areas, they don't cause tautuma. So the Gemara said, like this, Lema, Rabbi Meir, Latame, could you want to say, Lema here, like a question, right? Lema, do you want to say that Rabbi Meir, Latame? We're assuming now as well that the Tana of this Mishnah here is Rabbi Meir. Why? Because like a star Mishnah, right? So Lema Mesaile, that's Rabbi Meir. Look at Rashi. The itle tumat beit hastarim metamia. That he does hold, even though we've got to be kind belani masechet nida, that beit hastarim is lo metamia. That's not Rabbi Meir. Rabbi says it is metame beit hastarim. Ditnan, we've got a Mishnah, right? And this Mishnah is a kelim. Shlosha al shlosha shenichlak. Now remember, whenever the Mishnah uses shlosha al shlosha, right? So it means tvachim. You see, Rashi actually says shlosha tvachim. When it uses shalosh al shalosh in the feminine, it means etzba. Okay? Shlosha in the masculine is tvachim. Shalosh al shalosh always means etzba. Okay, it's a smaller amount. It says, what does Mary say? We've got a Mishnah there that says, shlosha al shlosha shenichla. So you've got this cloth, or this fabric, or this piece of material, which was 3x3 tvachim, right? Which is not too big, right? It's about the size of this page. About the size of this page. 24 by 24 centimeters, approximately, right about the size of this page. That's the minimum size that you want. That's a proper size from a kabel tuma, a kabel of material, like a garment. Right. So you've got this shlosha shoshe nechak. It's now split in half, or split. Not necessarily in half, but I think in half means in half. Look at Rashi there. She nechlak. Before we look at Rashi, the Gemara says we're quoting the brighter. Tahor min ha-midras, aval tamei maga midras Rabbi Meir. What does that mean? We know that midras, remember the din of midras? Midras is if a zav, or anybody who's a tamei av tuma, stands on something, right? In his walks on it. So he imparts tuma, that tumat midras. The difference between tumat midras and tumat maga. Maga has to be the skin has to touch it. If I've got a glove on, or if my shirt, and I touch this, there's no maga. But if I'm standing on it, even if with my clothes, right, then even with shoes on, that will become tamei midras. Okay? But we had also nisait, you also got tumat nisait, even if you move it or lift it, etc. Or we remember, if you had midras, if you sit on a bed and there are 20 mattresses, you metame all the way through, remember? That's tamei midras, right? So now, Rimei says as follows, that that this garment, which was 3x3 tvachim, that split, it's tahor min amidras. Why is it tahor min amidras? Look at Rashi. Tahor min amidras, miletamei adam v'kailim. So now that, if a midras, if a person stands on it, if it even had become tamidras, by splitting it in half now, it loses its ability to move past that tumor on, of tumat midras. Aval, metame maga midras. What's Taruk Rashi? Tum'a hanogeya b'midras yeshlo. The tuma that was inherent in it from the midras is retained in this garment. V'have rishon de tuma, and now it's a rishon de tuma. It's a next level. So all right, mipnei shenag'u ze baze, But odan mechubarin shehayu midras. What's he saying over here? Saying like this. Let me take this for a second. It's perfect. Here's my piece of my 8x8, my 3x3 tefachim. The zav stood on it. It now became a tamei midras. When we split it in half, right?
There goes you now.
It's no longer 3x3.
No longer 3x3. But what are we Mary saying? It's no longer got Tamei Midras, but Magar Midras, the fact that it was touched by Midras, becomes each one of them now is a Rishon Letumah, right? Because while they were connected, right, all the fabrics inside the garment were one big fabric and they touched each other. So therefore, the Tumah was passed from one side to the other. When I tore it up, the fabrics, we're talking about a thicker piece of fabric than this little piece of paper here. The fabrics still touched each other. Now, where did they touch each other? That's Beit Astarim. Because they touch each other inside the garment, we can't see it. He's calling the fabrics inside the body of the garment is Beit Astarim. Mm-hmm. That's his proof here, right? So now, look, let's go with it now for a second, a little bit further. He says, look at Rashi, V'chiba, Eze Midras Nagaze. So now the Gemara says, so now, hold on. Rabbi Yossi says to Rabbi Meir, V'chibeze midras nagaze. Right? Now, if you look at the Mesura Shaste of the Gimel, he takes it out. He says, Gimel there, Milat V'tanya, Ta'ut Hatfus, Sharehein, Sharehach, Milted Am Rabbi Yossi, Nishnet B'mishnet Kedim Shah. He says, this Vitanya, as if we're learning in a different writer, Rabbi Yossi isn't here. This is a proper conversation between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Meir said something, and then it is the Amar Rabbi Yossi, not Vitanya Amar Rabbi Yossi. Ignore that. So Rabbi Meir says this, Amar Rabbi Yossi says to Rabbi Meir, the Chiba Eze Midrash Nagazi, which Midrash? Where, how do they touch one another? Look at Rashi. The Chiba Eze Midrash Nagazi, Me'achar Shenechlak, once they were split, Sharei maga chaveiro eino maga. The friend, in other words, the other half, they're not touching each other anymore. Right? Lefishahu beit hastarim. See that? The fabrics inside there, that's beit hastarim. So inside each other, they're not touching each other anymore. Ele im yesh lomar, sheyesh klum tumah. Right? Unless you say there's a bit of tumah. Now again, the Sashas changes that misha merit over there, the hay. He says mishu yeret, remaining. Ella, sheyesh klum tuma mishu yeret alav, lav mishum maga midras. Right, in other words, he's saying to him, what's your vichem midras nagaze? Ella sheim nagabo ze sheyet tamei magabo. Unless there was a maga midras, unless it was actually touching it. So how does he answer? In other words, we're having a discussion here now about what's happening inside the fabrics. Remember, our discussion all about the Beit HaStarim. Rabbi Meir is the one who says, that's our Gemara's question. Are we saying over here that why is, right, the Ubar Tamei, it was inside the Beit HaStarim when they cut the limb off, it was inside. It must be Rabbi Meir who says that even in Beit HaStarim it was Metamei. So when you cut the limb off, it still touched the Ubar through the inside, then it was Metamei. And this is this Machlok and Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yossi over there with regards to the fabric. So now the Gemara carries on. So Gemara says, Lav Itmar Alav, and haven't we already learned about that? That Amar Ula, lo shna ele shlosha al shlosha shenechlak. That only applies when the, I left out this Rashi, and truly told you that it's quite important Rashi, but we don't become experts on Tumas, let's go. Right? Lo shna ele shlosha al shlosha shenechlak. Isn't that only apply? We've already discussed this whole concept. That only applies when there was a shlosha al shlosha, the minimum size of three tvachim, we split in half. Look at Rashi. And the Shlash Shlash Shneklak. The Leker LeMeimar B'Shabishtan Zemizeh Kiblu Tumat Maga Zemizeh. Don't say that they got one from the other Tumah. No. He didn't give it to me as it left it. Shere B'Shat Prishatan Lo Yesh Bezek Dele Tameh Beged V'Lo Bezek Dele Tameh Beged. Because each one was too small to metame the other one. So we can't say that that's when the tumah took place on the actual, at the moment of tearing. Sha'ain bahim shiur avatumah. For avatumah, you have to have shlosha al shlosha. So we can say that it's only talking about a case where it was to begin with 3x3 and it was already inherently imbued with the tumah. Not that the two was passed one to the other. Aval gimel etzpa'ot haba'in mi beged gadol. But look here, this is now coming to our animal. But even 3 by 3, a small amount. You see, Rashi actually says here, Aval gimel etzbaot. Can you see that Rashi puts in the word there, etzbaot, right? Aval gimel, shalosh al shalosh. Habaot mi beged gadol. That broke off from a much bigger garment. Beshat prishatan mi avehen. When it left its father, meaning when it left the big garment. Mekablot tuma mi avihen. That's how it got tuma. Not that each one of these gave each other tuma. They're too small. Talking about a small garment that's broken to a big garment. As it left the big garment was still a shalosh al shalosh, shlosha al shlosha tfachim, was able to be metamei, the smaller garment, to become a rishon tuma. Hanami, so too, b'sha'at prishatan me'ever. When this limb left the body, mekabel tuma me'ever, the limb was bigger than a 3 by 3. We assume it had more than a certain size. The rest of the body was mekabel tuma from this, right? So that is ula.
What's mekabel tuma?
What's the time? The rest of the animal, right? Rest of the animal. Now, how are we doing for time? Should we quickly go and finish up the sugya, or should we end up over here? Maybe we can take 5 minutes to run through the sugya, right? Then we're done. Let's finish. Okay. Ravina says, "Amar beged lav lechatichakai." Ravina says, "No. What are you talking about? A garment, as a rule, is lav lechatichakai." He says, "Here's the difference." So there, Ula tried to explain the difference between this machloket here and our sugya. Ravina says, "No, it's different altogether. Why? Because beged lav lechatichakai isn't standing there to be cut up. On the other hand, ubar lechatichakai, right? We're expecting to take that womb and cut it out." And what does he say? We've got a klal. This is a klal we've seen before plenty of times ourselves. We've learned before. V'chol ha'omed lachtoch. Anything that's ready, right, to be, that's waiting to be cut, right, k'chatuch dami. We look at it, it's already cut. So what's really happening over here? Right. And therefore, if we say that, right, that cut over there was intended. It was intended, then what?
Well,
look at Rashi. Varei nogin, ze baze. They're already there, they're touching one another. Right? Come on, Krabi Meir. Like Krabi Meir, it's not. Kol yadot ha-keilim, shen arukot v'atid katzatzan. If you've got a kli and you want to toggle in the mikvah, and it's got like a long handle, and you plan on cutting that handle short, you don't plan on using that whole handle, madbil ad makomida, you only have to toggle up to where you're going to cut the handle. Ah, but it's got the rest of the piece sticking out. We ignore it. It doesn't exist as far as we're concerned, right? And the Mishnah Shas changes this and says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, that was Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ad she yadbil et kul. Rabbi Yehuda says, no. So we can see this could still be according to Rabbi Meir, right? Rabbi Meir says that we regard it as chatuch. If we regard it as chatuch, then what? They're touching one another, and we can't help it. They're there. So now it seems like this, that our Mishnah is going according to Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't like this. He says, no, afilu tamer Rabbanan. But even say this mission is according to Rabbanan. Why? Chiburei ochlin command de mefarte dami v'negi bahadade. Look at Rashi. Chiburei ochlin shein rakim. You've got pieces of food, right? They're soft. Eino chashiv chibur. Therefore, even though like a loaf of bread, right, with lots of crumbs, it's already a big pile of crumbs, we don't really consider that chibur. Ah, they're held together, but they're very loosely held together. There's not an air in between. U command de mefarte dami. If they've already been like Lefarer, you don't like to like cram it up. Or Damina Ba'alma, Ravina Chibure Ochlin Kaman Nefar Damu, Mihachen Afki. He says, Rashi, on the rule, when we say there that special klal, I'm going to be honest with you, I'm not 100% sure how this helps us. He says, Chibure Ochlin Kaman Nefar Dami, Venegi Bahadade, and that they are touching one another. So even though it's going to be split up, we still say they're touching. I think that's what he's saying over here, right? That even though the plan is for them to be separated, they're still touching. And so for this limb, if we're going to cut it off, they're still touching. Right? The other words like this. With Ula, right? Remember, Ula was the one who said that he said, Ula said already over this. Let's go back to Ula. Ula said, Lo shtayin shlosha shlosha she nechlak. Lo shtayin shlosha she habot mi beged gadol. B'shap shetam yavin mekabot tuma mi avihen. Right? It says, Ula over there, hainu tani chatcha. And Ravina Machat, as far as Ravina is concerned, we have to cut it. Ravina says just the fact that they are loosely aligned They're going to split up anyhow. We have to actually chop it off. We'll make no difference. I did a tani reisha chatcha. Tani said bechatcha. He said, no, you're right. We wouldn't have to have chatcha. Since the reisha said chatcha, so right. The sevel was a chatcha. We wouldn't. We work even without the chatcha. Okay. Good Shabbos. We're in of